Okay, we have what is, I think, one of the more intriguing questions about what is one of the topics in Chumash, certainly in Parshas Vayeshev, that is most often spoken about, and that is the following. The entire episode of Yehuda and Tamar is one that requires some real understanding. The behavior of Yehuda certainly leaves us questioning a little bit. Yehuda, one of the Shvatim, Shiftei Ka, Lo Yasser, Shevet Mi Yehuda, he's going to be, later on, Parshas Vayechi. Yehuda is the melech of Klal Yisrael. Go and just be with a prostitute. Seems to be, at least from his perspective, what he thinks is going on. At the same time, Tamar is, on the one hand, praised by Chazal and praised by Rashi. Tamar is someone who's incredibly tzanua. Tamar is someone that's tzadka mimeni. She's someone that acted appropriately. Chazal even comment based on Tamar. Noach lola adam lipo lekitshon ha'esh. Layabim p'nei chaveo barabim. She was willing to even give up her own life rather than embarrass Yehuda. On the one hand, Yehuda and Tamar are these incredibly holy people. Yet the actions that they seem to have partaken in this week's Parsha appear to be, when you read it, at least somewhat problematic. They have us question a little bit what exactly is really going on with Yehuda and Tamar. So what I want to try to develop are a couple of different mahalchim to understand Yehuda and Tamar. We're going to deal, as we go on, with a very fundamental question, which is how exactly Mashiach comes from this world of Yehuda and Tamar. What exactly is really going on there? So let's start as follows. Amongst many of the Rishonim, so there is an understanding that Yehuda and Tamar did nothing that was at all halakhically problematic. Yehuda and Tamar did not do anything wrong at all. Nothing that even has any shmecks of it. If you look in the Balei HaTosfos in their Perush al HaTorah, this is clear. I bring my copy up. Yeah, right here in the Sefer Tosfos HaShalem, they have from the Riva and some others that there are some Balei HaTosfos that suggest, based on Chazal, that Yehuda and Tamar, that was like a real kiddushin that took place there. He went over, he asked her, he was asking a lot of halakhic questions. Are you married? No, I'm a pnuya. Is it possible that your father married you off? No, I'm a yisoma. Is it, are you tummy or tahora? I'm tahora. The Yehuda was looking into all these things. The mashkon he gave, the Rishonim talk about there, maybe that was even like the Kesef Kiddushin on some level, Sugiz and Mesechus Kiddushin, but there really was on some level an appropriate Kiddushin that took place. Others suggest, some of those say Kalim on the Rambam, maybe even the Magen Mishnah, suggest that the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, describes another Mahalach, that Kodem Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, so some of these things were not considered to be as problematic at all, that a lot of these Isurim about who a person's allowed to be intimate with, under what circumstances, things change, La'achar Matan Torah, but the Rambam writes, Kodem Matan Torah, Haya Adam Pogeya Ishus Bashukis Perak Aleph Halach Adalet, before Matan Torah, if a man would meet a woman somewhere, and wrote it, who, Vihi, Nosein Laschara Uboel Osa, Al Emha Derech Veholich, Vizoya Nikris Kadesha, that a person could just pay someone to have bia with them and then essentially move on and code them Matan Torah, maybe that was not perceived as so problematic. So on the one hand, what you have are we shown in that attempt to suggest that maybe there was nothing so problematic here at all, even from Yehuda's perspective, who didn't know that Tamar was who she was. Nevertheless, I imagine for many of us, we're still struck with the following question. Even if it's true, which it does seem to be the case, that nothing was wrong al pidin with what they did, is it not somewhat surprising that this is the kind of relationship that, at least al pipashtus, the way the Chumash describes it, it seems to be one that comes from things that at least we're wondering about the morality or the ethics or at least the appropriateness of it? Is it not somewhat striking? This is going to be the relationship through Yehuda and Tamar, the Malchus of Yehuda. Eventually, Mashiach is going to come as the result of this union that appears on some level to be somewhat problematic. Like, how can that really be? Or why would it be, even if technically it's okay, why would this be the relationship that Mashiach and the leadership of Klal Yisrael would come through this? Many note that this is not unique just as far as Yehuda and Tamar's relationship. But if you look at, let's say, the lineage of Mashiach, you have a lot of questionable things about the lineage of Mashiach. First of all, go to the step before Yehuda. Yehuda's mother is Leah, that's only married to Yaakov because of a trick that took place on that night. And when Yaakov was with Leah originally, Yaakov didn't even know that he was with Leah. Akadekach, that Rishonim have the questions about how are they really married? Why isn't it like a Mekach Taos? What's really going on? Rus, for those of us more familiar with it, comes from outside. Rus, that relationship also leaves us with a variety of questions. She comes, the world of Moab, Lot, and his daughter coming from there. We have a lot of questions, the lineage of Mashiach in a certain sense, the lineage of the leadership of Klal Yisrael through Yehuda lo yasser shevet mi Yehuda, again, seems to be coming through somewhat questionable means. And part of the question is, like, what exactly is going on? How exactly could this be? Rav Rivlin, the former Mashkiach of Karen Biavne, has a sefer on Rus. It's Rus David u'Mashiach. So in the end of the sefer, page, like, I don't know, in the 350s or so, has a long discussion about this question. He offers four suggestions. We'll mention at least a couple of them as to why it would have to come. Why would the leadership of Klal Yisrael have to come from the relationship of Yehuda and Tamar, from a relationship that looks like this? It gives us insight into why maybe Tamar had to do some of the things that she did. And he mentions the following mahalchim. Again, we'll mention three of them. The first is the mahalch of the Eim Banim Smecha. The Eim Banim Smecha, Teichtel, offers the following mahalach. It's found in many Sfarim also, which is the following. We know that sometimes big things, so the Satan is more on his A game. That when there are big things happening for Klal Yisrael, so the Satan is so much aware of what's going on and tries to do whatever he can to it. So sometimes we do what's referred to as like a shochad la-Satan. Sometimes what we do is we engage in activities to hide from the Satan the big things that are really occurring. The Satan, if there was a classic relationship going on that was going to give birth to Mashiach, the Satan would be all over that. It's an element of tricking. It's an element of keeping it low down a little bit. That what's going to happen now is something that doesn't look like it's the biggest, holiest thing. And therefore, there's not going to be the same kind of attack. And as a result of that, what will eventually happen is B.S. Mashiach. And it's going to keep the Satan, to throw him off of his game a little bit, so that eventually it's going to be able to emerge. Now, for the Eim Banim Smecha, Derech Agav, that is why he uses that to explain how secular Zionists could end up being the people that bring Klal Yisrael nowadays back to Eretz Yisrael. If they looked like the frimmest people in the world, if they were the frimmest, so the Satan would be all over that. But this is a way of sort of like hiding it. It's a way of sort of getting some sort of an avoda to be able to allow us to ultimately be successful and not fall prey to the Satan. That's one mahalach. The second mahalach is a mahalach based on well-known teachings from Torah Chabad. The Baal Tanya writes, you know, why does the Ribbono Shel Olam create the world? Nis'avelo, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a dira b'tachtonim, b'tachtonim mamish. That the Ribbono Shel Olam, the purpose of creating this world, whatever this means, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a dira, a place to live, b'tachtonim, in low-down places. Baruch Hu wanted not to stay in Shemayim, but to be present in this world. Rivlin suggests that maybe that's part of what's going on here. Part of the job of Klal Yisrael and part of the job of Mashiach, he argues based on his Sfas Emes, is to show the extent to which the Ribbono Shel Olam is found in all places. To show the extent to which the Ribbono Shel Olam is not just hanging up in Shemayim or hanging up by what appears to be like, you know, the upper world, but is here in Tachtonim Mamish. That even in low places, there's still Kedusha that can be found there. He suggests maybe that's one of the reasons why the lineage of Mashiach comes through actions that appear at face value to be more problematic. Because there also, Mashiach can come from there also. Because Dira B'tachtonim, B'tachtonim Mamish. That there can be a presence of a Ribbono Shel Olam even in places that are very, very low. And even in places that appear to be not coming from the holiest of locations. In that sense, I would just point out, there's something very powerful about that. That the idea that Mashiach comes not from relationships that look like everything was always pure and big tzaddikim, but even relationships that, when you look at it at first glance at least, appear to be almost like a little bit inappropriate. And part of what this does also is give a degree of chizak and a degree of support, that people, wherever they are, the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found b'tachtonim, because Baruch Hu can be found in all locations, wherever you happen to be. Let me chaz what we've done so far so we can have just one more mahalach. The actions of Yehuda and Tamar, it's something when you read the psukim, appear to be somewhat, again, we're asking questions like, really, how could that be? How could Tamar have done that? How could Yehuda have done that? One mahalach, the mahalach of Baliat Tosfos, there was a real kiddushin that took place there. Second mahalach based in the Rambam, no, it's Kodem Matan Torah. The Baba Cherebi assumes like this also, the Pashtus, it's Kodem Matan Torah. Before the Torah is given, these actions were considered to be mutter. We still ask the question, but even within all these things, it still looks somewhat inappropriate. At minimum, it's not how we would have imagined the leadership of Klal Yisrael to come through a relationship like this. So the first mahalach, the Eim Banim Smecha, no. When big things happen in this world sometimes, the Satan would be all over it. So we hide the big things. It comes through relationships that Satan would not be able to be as aware of and to be able to attack. Sometimes like a shocha to the Satan, Again, we're mixing a couple ideas, but at least an idea like that. The second idea is to show us that the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam can take place in all relationships, at all, b'tachton and mamish, that Mashiach can come, part of the job of Mashiach, ha-mashpili l'ro'os b'shamayim uva'aretz, as Fasemes points out. That the Ribbono Shel Olam can be found in all locations, really all locations. And therefore, there's the capacity to experience a presence there. And to show the Mashiach can come from even that kind of place, show that the Ribbono Shel Olam is found throughout this world. Rivlin suggests one last idea. It's a very, very powerful idea, and a very simple one based on the comment of the Maharal. If you look, it's Maharal Nesivos Olam. If you look, we're very concerned in Chumash with kings. We're very concerned that Jewish leaders are going to become, have a certain kind of gaiva, and remove and view themselves as being fundamentally separate from the rest of people. We're very nervous that people are going to remove themselves, you know, in a certain sense, like that they're separate, they play by a different set of rules, that they're going to think that there's a certain lack of humility there. That's why they have halachas in Sefer Dvarim, but the halachas of a king. Part of what we're trying to do is we want leaders who are part and with the people. We want leaders that don't think they're better than anyone else. We want leaders that understand that they are entirely, entirely with the rest of Klal Yisrael, not separate and distinct. If you want an interesting just ha'ara, Tselem Elokim, in like other Near Eastern sources from the time of Chumash, was limited to kings. Part of the Chiddush of Chumash is that Tselem Elokim is found in every single person. And what's happening now, Reuven suggests, when it comes to Yehuda and Tamar, when you come from relationships like this, you can't think that, wow, I'm destined to always be better than everyone else. You're one of us. You're a regular person that comes from a relationship like that. Don't think that you're more elevated, but rather enter your leadership with a certain kind of humility. And in many ways, I would just add, that's what the Yehuda Tamar episode is really all about. Yehuda comes in and wants to punish Tamar, and he wants Tamar to be nidon her with Sreifa. The Ramban explains that the reason why Yehuda's punishing her is because Yehuda's the Melech, and what she did was a bizayon to the Melech. And part of the episode of Yehuda and Tamar is Yehuda coming to realize, Tzarka mi meni. I may be the Melech, but it doesn't mean I can't make mistakes. And part of what we want in leaders are leaders that understand where they come from, and they are no different than anyone else. That's you have great leaders when they feel like they are with the people, not separate, distinct, elevated, and playing by a different set of rules. Yehuda and Tamar, with that maisa, which seems to take place in the middle, which seems so problematic, and in a certain sense, is laying the groundwork for the eventual capacity for Klal Yisrael to become so incredibly great, for Klal Yisrael to have incredible leaders, and may we be zocha to the B.S. Mashiach in whatever way he comes, for us to be able to be zocha to realize the dreams of Klal Yisrael. Shkayach, guys. Sorry when I'm a minute late. I apologize for that.